Hello, everybody. I'm George from Ireland. I'm talking about the Ukrainian counteroffensive, which is not getting the coverage it deserves. What has been going on just for the past few days? So, making some gains after months of being pushed back and sometimes occasionally gaining 100 meters, actually gaining significant amount of land earlier this month. About 200 square kilometers between the 11th and the 15th of February seems to have petered out now. Let me just sort of think, Ukraine, how big it is, because it's like the size of France. You know, it's something like 500,000 square kilometers, of which Russia has got about 20% of it, had even more at the peak of their penetration, sort of May 2022, before they're pushed back. There's almost 4 years since the war began. So Russia was crawling forward. I mean, not even, this is the slowest rate of advance of any war ever that I've ever heard of. I mean, compared to the First World War, even slower than that. So bear in mind that Russia's got such a numerical advantage, outnumbers the Ukrainians in population 3-1, and on the battlefield, maybe not quite that. But, you know, when our, you know, howitzers, it was 10-1, or helicopters was 10-1, really everything about 10-1. Now, they couldn't bring all those to bear in theatre at the beginning of the war for logistical reasons, plus their other frontiers to guard. But even then, with their assets, it was often a 4-1, a 5-1 advantage, and they had a huge munitions advantage. So that's how incompetent they are. So the incapability of the Russian armed forces is blatant. And the Ukrainians have retaken some ground. Putin's told all these lies that he's taken Kramatorsk, Kupiansk, and stuff like that, and they haven't, not the whole of the city. Okay, so what they took in just 4 days, that was about as much as the Russians took in December 2025. And there was a so-called Russian ceasefire. What's a Russian ceasefire at all? Some of it in Zaporizhia, just east of there. So that was, the city that the Russians are really keen to conquer. They want to get the whole of that region. Remember, they stole Crimea in 2014. Then there were four other regions they illegally occupied in 2022. And remember where you heard it first. Remember they recognized the Donetsk People's Republic and the Luhansk People's Republic 2 days before they launched the war. And I said, yeah, this is an act preparatory to war. The other thing is, and they'll eventually say, oh, they've asked for absorption into Russia. And indeed, that so-called fusion with Russia occurred in September 2022 after the rigged referenda, when Russia didn't even control the whole of the region. And people who finally got free from there said, we voted at gunpoint, which is not hard to believe. Not surprising, was sort of 98% for joining Russia in most cases. And these are the regions that if Ukraine holds another election, Russia insists that the residents must be allowed to vote. You see, this is double thinking. You can't have it both ways. It's part of Russia and Ukraine at the same time. These people are Russian citizens and they're Ukrainian citizens. I mean, admittedly, Russia allows your citizenship. Ukraine, incidentally, does not. I mean, if I were them, I might allow it for, say, some people who got it through the International Legion for the Territorial Defense of Ukraine. So Russia gained that land. Ukraine gained that land back from Russia. Was it partly because the Munich Security Conference was on? And I hope this is a hot topic discussion. See what the Ukrainians can do. Don't write them off. They're proving that they still fight in them. And so on. So their tactical counterattacks, these are not a huge one. Did they sort of make it up as they went along, rather than having some grand plan like the disappointment in 2023 when it gained only a tenth of what they needed to break the land corridor between Russia and the Crimean Peninsula? So to get through to the Sea of Azov, that would have caused a real logistical headache for Russia, especially the Ukrainians, to be able to take down that Kerch Strait bridge. But, you know, Joe Biden, President Trump would never given the missiles they needed to do that, and indeed other donor countries. So one of the critical factors in Ukraine's just certainly temporary local success was the fact that the Russia lost access to the Starlink satellite internet. So they didn't have command and control. They couldn't communicate from one unit to another, to advance, to retreat, to receive orders, to, you know, fire, to cease fire, or their reinforcements on the way when the munitions are coming on, their battlefield awareness of where the enemy is and also where their allied units are, so they don't accidentally fire on their own side. I thought even better, what I want to do with the Ukrainians is to obviously hack into the communication system. Presumably they try and do this in their countermeasures and send them the wrong orders. Bombard those people to the north of you, and you think it's enemy, it's actually your own side, or tell them to retreat from a crucial position or whatever, or order them to launch a suicidal attack or things like that. But I'm sure they got wise to that a long time ago. So anyway, the Ukrainians realized which Russian units were hollowed out, were very enfeebled after relentless attacks and just couldn't attack anymore. And so these ones were easy ones for the Ukrainians to overwhelm, kill, capture, wound. Some of them are just going to flee and so on. Okay, so this is not a huge scale counteroffensive. They think we can't do things on a grand scale. You can't really achieve surprise because there's, such situational awareness because there's satellites and drones everywhere. So if you're surprised, almost even surprise yourself by doing it with like not that much preparation. So they had achievable goals. They weren't overly ambitious about how far they could go. And so they made the most out of the Russian weak points and so on. This is mostly around Zaporizhia. Okay, so that's why the Ukrainians have got some momentum. Now, nobody thinks this is going to drive Russia out of Ukraine in itself, or even out of just the Zaporizhia region. So it's not a huge breakthrough like that. But the Russians pay dearly for every square kilometer gained. And so to re you know so how many Russians were killed for these 200 square kilometers? To think that they've gained something like 100,000 square kilometers, and they've had about 300,000 men killed. That's about three men killed per square kilometer. So, 200 square kilometers you've lost, that's about 600 lives the Russians lost to get it and would have to lose again to try and get it back. And of course, some of the Russians were killed in that counteroffensive. There would have been Ukrainian losses too. So Russia's attempt to conquer Ukraine is not going nowhere fast. It's very hard to see how they conquer the whole of Ukraine. So probably some unsatisfactory armed truce is like the best outcome that can be hoped for. But the thing is, Ukraine regaining all the land, I don't see that happening. I don't see them ever regaining Crimea. I would love to see it happen, but I cannot foresee how that's possible. But what could be done is to make the war so costly that the Russians decide to end it. But it has to be economically costly. We're just not doing enough on sanctions. Hungary and Slovakia are still buying Russian oil, should be buying none whatsoever. I mean, nobody should be trading with Russia whatsoever unless it's kind of unavoidable. I can't think something that the rest of the world needs from Russia they can't get elsewhere. Sometimes it's going to cost you more, there'll be less in the market and so on. But obviously this is to save Ukraine. This is obviously an important precedent. You can't take over countries that you've recognized like that. International law, again, lex gentium. Russia's you recognize Ukraine. Ukraine is a sovereign nation, the sovereign equalities. I've seen a question about that. Russia signed and ratified these treaties. It has reneged on all these treaties. It's bad faith. We know there's been the mass murder of Ukrainian civilians committed by Russia, and so on. And I'm afraid the Russian regime is a heavily oppressive and cruel, barbarous force. Okay. Now, there's some reasonable criticisms we leveled at the Ukrainian government, but they're not in remotely the same league as what you have to say about the Kremlin. This is not Russophobic, not to say most Russian people are bad, absolutely not, or all Ukrainians are good. But the Russian regime certainly represents evil. Okay, so it may well have petered out this Ukrainian counteroffensive. So yeah, it partly it underscores the cruciality of communications. And the modern battlefield, okay, through access to satellites. So know where everything is because there's so much information coming so fast, and you can't really hide these first person drones and things like that because of heat sensors, night sights. So thanks very much for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, then to PayPal, georgecannon7 at gmail.com. Goodbye.